Back for the final hour of the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. GMAC, Coach Josh Phillips, and Lonzo, 844-477-3776. Text line 71307, driven by Carolina Coaches RV Superstore. Twitter at ESPN Upstate. One more quick note on Zion Williamson. Got a text from Ronnie Black over at Burns that Spartanburg Day School is going to play at Burns this year in basketball in December. It's kind of an unusual matchup. But that should be a pretty good gate night for the Rebels, assuming $50. Zion is there.
Our tickets.
How much
on
y'all
sale?
Charging for those
$50.
Tickets?
$50 a pop.
Yeah. Make note of that. I'm sure the road games will be well attended, just as the home games are for Spartanburg Day School, with really one of the best ever play high school football, basketball rather, in this area, and maybe the best. Maybe the best. We'll see if he turns out to be better than Kevin Garnett. We will see. The story is yet to be told. Like I said earlier, I think that's going to be one of the fun local stories, just following the career of Zion Williamson. It could be something really special. All the elements are there for that to happen, so it'll be fun. It was scrimmage day Saturday for Clemson, their first scrimmage at Memorial Stadium in Clemson on Saturday. Their sixth day of practice in pads, 3 weeks away from the opener against Kent State. And not surprisingly, the defense seems to have the upper hand over at Clemson. Yeah, who thought that, right? Seven starters returning from last year's national championship team on defense, including some of the best ones out there. Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence and Cleland Farrell and Austin Bryant. Yeah, a few guys that are pretty darn good on defense. So Tony Elliott, the co-offensive coordinator, he's having a little bit of a challenge. Is it that the offense is struggling? Is it that they're playing the Clemson defense in these scrimmages and practices? Probably a little bit of both. Here's some of what Tony Elliott had to say after Saturday's scrimmage at Clemson.
I didn't think that we caught a rhythm. I never really got into a rhythm. We made some plays, still a little bit inconsistent at times. Didn't perform in the red zone like I wanted to, and it was self-inflicted. Things that we made a couple mistakes there. Really proud of how we responded in short yards and goal line. Probably the best session that we've had in a long time. Just overall inconsistent and didn't catch a rhythm. And you know, I thought the quarterbacks were solid. I thought they were making the right decisions. We just didn't execute. Things moving a lot faster in the stadium. If those guys are coming, there's no coaches on the field to help them. So a lot for us to learn from. So it's a good start, but definitely a lot to work on.
Was not being able to get into a rhythm more product of what the offense wasn't doing or going against?
You know, it's a combination of both, and that's what we tell the guys. Right now in camp, we're getting our system installed, and they're getting their system installed on defense, and there's going to be some calls that won't match up, and had we, you know, had a week to prepare and study them, we would know the tendencies, but, you know, we're both calling our offenses and our defenses against each other, and so some things don't marry up. So it's a combination of a little bit of both. I mean, obviously, they gave us some challenging looks. That defensive line is going to challenge you every time you try to run the football, and then there were some things we could have done better from an execution standpoint.
That is co-offensive coordinator Tony Elliott. Dabo Swinney said Kelly Bryant had a really good practice on Friday before the scrimmage. Said he threw an interception when the ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage because he expected a player to be cut at the line, and that turned into a 50-yard interception return by Tanner Muse. But he said he was pleased with Kelly Bryant's decision-making. He went to against the number one defense all day in that practice. Zarek Cooper had a one-yard scoring pass to DeAndre Overton, who had three catches for 33 yards. Hunter Johnson had a 23-yard touchdown to walk-on Carter Grooms. T. Higgins, we're all looking forward to seeing him. He caught a 38-yard pass from freshman Chase Bryce. And Cannon Smith led the tight ends with two catches for 39 yards. And they even got that freshman running back, Travis Etienne, into the mix. Had a 32-yard scoring run late in the scrimmage. Had 56 yards on 10 carries. Alex Spence, the backup kicker, got some work on Saturday. 4 for 4 in field goals. Had a 51-yarder. 51-yarder also for Greg Hugel. And the punters, there is a punting battle there, but Dabo Swinney says Will Spires held the upper hand. He had punts of 52, 43, and 39 yards. Tigers are practicing today. They will have a half scrimmage on Wednesday and then another scrimmage at Memorial Stadium next Saturday, but all practices closed to the public. So don't think you're going to jog out there and see the Clemson Tigers. They're a little bit close to the vest this time of year.
Yeah, it's
Yeah, it's crunch time now. We're, what, less than?
We're 3 weeks away. Man.
Three weeks away. 2 weeks away from Kent State game, 3 weeks away from them playing Auburn. And, yeah, they're gonna keep a lot of stuff close to the vest. The fun time's over. They've had their fan fest and autograph sessions and all of that, and it's – I mean, they got a lot to prove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't think they're very good, and, you know, they got Florida State on their heels and all that stuff. So they're going to have to get after it.
Yeah, Kent State game September 2nd. That's a noon kickoff. Auburn, a 7 o'clock kickoff on September 9th, and they've set the Louisville kickoff for September 16th at Louisville for 3:30. And, again, we've talked about it over and over, five games in September, and three of them, you could say, are pretty challenging games. Auburn at home, Louisville on the road, Virginia Tech on the road, all in the month of September for the Clemson Tigers. Looks like I don't think anything is going to change about Kelly Bryant starting game one, right?
No, it's not going to change until the – if it does change, it's going to happen during the Auburn game because, let's be honest, Kent State isn't going to prove anything. All three quarterbacks are going to play because that game's going to be over at the half. You know, so it may be broken down to where Kelly and the first-team offense – play the first half, and then when it's 42-0, then Zarek and Hunter mop up at 3 and 4 in the third and fourth quarter. And then all eyes are going to be on that Auburn game, and that's going to decide if they stick with him moving forward on how he performs or whether they make a change.
We will see how that develops.
If he goes out there against Auburn, throws a couple of first-half interceptions and kicking the ball around a little bit, yeah, he's probably not gonna last the season.
So that's the update on Clemson. Again, Florida has suspended 7 for their opener against Michigan. That because of this situation involving student IDs being used at the school bookstore to buy improper things and then selling those for cash. That happened on Sunday. Jim McElwain making that decision. And then we have this note coming out of the college football ranks. Notre Dame and Wisconsin have announced future games at Lambeau Field and Soldier Field. It's kind of interesting. Notre Dame and Wisconsin announcing that they'll play at those two NFL stadiums, the school's first meetings since a three-game series all the way back 1962 to 1964. Fighting Irish and the Badgers will play October 2nd, 2020 at Lambeau and September 25th of 2021 at Soldier Field. They will evenly split the ticket distribution and the revenue. It's part of Notre Dame's Shamrock Series. NBC will broadcast the games in 2020 at Lambeau, and the Big Ten controls the TV rights for 2021 in Chicago. Notre Dame's athletic director said these are two schools with a host of reasons to play each other and will play in two iconic venues that will be a great experience for our students. Notre Dame, Wisconsin, is that a rivalry you guys have missed? You want to see that one? Yeah. Can't get too excited about that one.
Well, Notre Dame, I don't know. Notre Dame coming off of not the best year.
No, not the best.
Wisconsin did pretty well last year, even though you never really acknowledged it.
I'm buying Wisconsin this year. Buying Wisconsin.
I don't think it will have the opposite effect. I think they will still be good. As a Green Bay fan, you good with that? Them playing
touching our sacred field?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm okay with them. I'm okay with them. They can come onto the field. Just don't tear it up before Sunday's game. Just keep it in good shape.
I can tell you, if that was the only game on, I might watch it.
Notre Dame, Wisconsin?
Yeah, other than that, probably not.
Yeah, it wouldn't be my first choice either. not going to go out of my way for Notre Dame, Wisconsin.
The Fighting Paul Chris, G-Mac, you're buying the Fighting Paul Chris. Right?
Yeah, you know, I was a little underwhelmed by Wisconsin last year, but I think they'll have a chance to win the Big Ten this year. I know Ohio State's the favorite.
I don't know if I go that far, but I think they'll
chance.
Be competitive for sure.
When they win it, you can think back to this day.
Mark the tape moment.
Mm-hmm, mark the tape. If they don't win it, you can forget about it. Here's a little more information about Frank Broyles. Unfortunately, has passed away at the age of 92. That news just breaking before the top of the hour. Arkansas got their lone football championship in 1964, as the coach mentioned. Broyles died from complications from Alzheimer's, according to a statement from his family. When he was there, the Razorbacks won about 71% of their games. 19 years there. He became the AD in 1974 while he was still coaching. Retired to focus on administrative duties following the 1976 season. And as athletic director, he led an overhaul and an upgrade of Arkansas's facilities. And, of course, was part of that move to the SEC. Big part of that. I got to give him credit for that, getting Arkansas in the SEC. Following his coaching career, Frank Broyles served as an analyst on ABC's college football telecast. What'd you think of him as a TV guy? Did you like Frank on TV broadcast?
He was okay. His accent kind of got into the way a little bit.
Mm.
He had a – Coach Broyles had a very distinct voice.
Very, yeah.
Very unique.
You could say that. The family statement said, we express heartfelt gratitude to all those who contribute to his charm life, whether you're one of his players, coaches, colleagues, or friends, a Razorback fan, or a fellow caregiver, you are an integral part of his fairy tale story. And they went on to say, to his family, he was quite simply our hero. 92 years old at his passing today, Frank Broyles.
He almost got ran out of town during the Ken Hatfield drama.
Yeah.
Of the early 90s, because the Hogs were playing very well in the Southwest Conference under Coach Hatfield, and apparently they got into it. Ken Hatfield was another former player on that 64 team. And apparently they had gotten into it. He was too heavy-handed with the program or something to that effect. Well, anyway, of course, that had ties to here because that was right when Clemson cut ways with Coach Ford, and basically they flipped. Coach Ford came to Arkansas as an analyst or as a consultant, and Ken Hatfield became the head coach at Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And until Dabo was the last head coach to win an ACC championship, I believe he won it in 93 with the Tigers, I think. But, yeah, the whole state was not happy with Frank when that – because then subsequently that next year they hired a guy named Jack Crow. And the Citadel promptly beat him, and he was fired the next day. So he had a 2-week contract.
Yeah, that's right. That Citadel win over Arkansas was a pretty big one. South Carolina's not the only team to lose the Citadel.
No.
That got him in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, that got him into a lot of trouble. But overall, like what you mentioned with Bud Walton Arena and the money that has poured in because of him, quite honestly, and getting out there. Now, some people from Arkansas debate whether him getting the Hogs into the SEC was a good thing or not. But overall, it's been losing him. I mean, he is the University of Arkansas when it comes to sports.
Mm. You believe it's a good thing, right, coming to the SEC?
No.
Really?
No.
Interesting.
I was one of the few that was crying the day they announced the Hogs were coming to the Southeastern Conference.
Because?
I didn't think they could compete. I didn't think the Hogs in 88 and 89, the Razorbacks had just won back-to-back Southwest Conference championships. And I thought they should have gone into the Big 12, was a more natural fit with Oklahoma and Texas, and at the time Texas A&M. And it was more of a natural from a recruiting standpoint. Well, now, I mean, the Hogs, they've won the West, I think, 3 times, but they've never really seriously contended to win the SEC just simply because of the power of the Southeastern Conference. I mean, when Alabama was down, you had to deal with, and they were going through the Mike Prices and the Mike Shulas and all of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Florida was in their heyday. And when Florida was down, Auburn was up. And then when Auburn got down, LSU came up. So it was one of those things where, you know, if the Hogs had gone to the Big 12, they literally only had to beat 2 teams, Texas and Oklahoma. Come to the SEC, they got to beat 7 to win the league. So lot tougher sledding.
Yeah. And then Texas was down for a while. Only had 1 team.
Exactly. Only had 1 team. Exactly right. Exactly right.
Man, you could have won some championships.
Yeah, I know. Cost us a bunch.
844-477-3776. We'll take a break and come back with more here. We're going to hear from Martavis Bryant, Pittsburgh Steelers, former Clemson Tiger, back with the team. Pittsburgh, not Clemson. That's coming up here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. 844-477-3776. Text line is 71307 if you would like to get into the conversation here in the huddle. You pointed this out to me, Josh. I had not seen it. There is a version of the North Carolina football helmet with Michael Jordan on it. The Jumpman logo. Michael Jordan. I guess that's his dunk, his like dunk from the free throw line where he stretched out. It's only on the practice helmets for North Carolina. I don't even like that. That just looks dumb, doesn't it? A basketball player on a football helmet. Is there a reason to do that? Is there any good reason to put a basketball player on a football helmet ever?
They're hoping the success of the basketball team will rub off.
Maybe to sell the helmets?
It's a practice helmet.
Though.
Yeah, but you can't sell a practice helmet.
Not if you're a player, you can't get suspended.
You can't. Well, that's true. You can't make a replica helmet now with that on there, and suddenly Jordan fans are going to buy it. I'm just saying, it sounds like marketing to me.
Yeah. Well, it's marketing because they debuted the new Jordan brand uniforms at the university. They also debuted the new Charlotte Hornets uniform. The rest of the NBA is going to Nike. The Hornets will be the only NBA team wearing the Jumpman logo. But for North Carolina, they've got a basketball player on the side of their practice helmets. What does that say to you? As I'm a football player at North Carolina, and I got a basketball player on my helmet. How does that make you feel? Am I at a basketball school or not? I think I am.
1,000%.
I don't get the problem with you. I mean, because the helmet still functions the same way. It doesn't matter what's on the side. They're not going to use it during a game, right?
No. Well, we don't know that, but not yet. Have you looked at it?
I had already seen it, so yeah. It
looks dumb.
Maybe they'll put a Jumpman Trubisky on the football helmet.
Yeah, do that. That's next. I just out of place. It's weird.
I mean, if you're going to do anything in your North Carolina, they're so screwed up. I mean, if you're going to do anything with your football helmet, it's got to involve Lawrence Taylor. You don't put Michael
Jordan.
Maybe you should
involve football, yeah.
Something.
That'd be good.
I mean, do something with a logo of LT. I mean, he's the greatest North Carolina football player of all time, isn't he?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a Jumpman brand.
He doesn't have a logo.
He doesn't have a logo?
His logo may have something to do with cocaine.
Maybe
or
it's
crack
a straw.
Or something like that, yeah. It could be a straw.
Getting arrested in Myrtle Beach or whatever. Yeah.
Soliciting, you know. Yeah. I don't think you can put that on a helmet.
Yeah, but it's football, you know.
Speaking of football players who've been in trouble, Martavis Bryant is back at practice with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The NFL didn't initially let him go to training camp when it opened up this summer. He says he has no idea why they didn't give him the green light to practice, but now he has the go-ahead. He got the word last week, took part in his first padded practice since late 2015 yesterday. Bryant was active on the field. He actually caught a 60-yard touchdown pass from Josh Dobbs. And that's Mike Tomlin used that to say that he looked like his old self. Martavis says he's in great shape out of football. He says it's different when you've got people pulling on you and hitting with the pads on. He's working on getting ready. He says he's got a lot of work to do, but he will be ready. Here's Martavis Bryant after practice yesterday.
Other than maintain your sobriety, what do you have to do between the regular season?
Not mess up, which is obvious. I'm just continue doing what I'm doing.
Is it counseling, just showing up to tests? Or?
It's everything.
Both of those things included?
Yeah, everything included.
Everything included. And what about the fan reception in Pittsburgh? Are the fans still ticked off? And Martavis Bryant, here's what he said about that.
I'm not worried about that. I'm just happy to be back out here with my brothers, you know. Everybody get judged, so I'm not here for people to judge me. I'm here to play football and get better with my teammates. So outside of that, I'm not worried about it.
Not worried about the fan reaction.
Really, if you're there to play football, then stay off the drugs, man.
Yeah. Will he get booed?
Not if he scores a touchdown, he won't.
That'll go away quickly, right?
If he drops one, he will.
I think, look, everybody deserves a second chance. I hope Martavis Bryant cannot mess up again. You look at what happened to Zeke Elliott on Friday. Martavis Bryant better not mess up again, right?
He'll be banished.
He better not mess up again. And I'm hopeful that he won't. I don't think he will. I think Martavis Bryant has learned. Seems to be happy to get back out there and he's ready to go.
Has he healed the rift between he and Big Ben?
They say they're good now.
Okay, that's good to know.
They say they are good.
They put their feelings aside and decided to work together. That's awesome.
They hugged it out.
They did. They hugged it out. Leonard Fournette, running back for Jacksonville. He'll be out of the preseason game against Tampa Bay on Thursday. Won't be playing. He's got a sore foot. Wide receiver Marquise Lee suffered an ankle injury on Sunday. He won't play against the Bucs either. Fournette missed practice Sunday and today. And Doug Marrone said the fourth overall pick in the draft will be evaluated later this week to see if he can return to practice over the weekend. And they're trying to be smart about this, so they don't want to throw him out there too soon. He ran for 31 yards and a touchdown on 9 carries in the preseason opener against New England last week. They've been monitoring his foot injury. Has not been an issue that would keep him out of practice, but then he complained of soreness after Saturday, so they decided to hold him out for Sunday. And now they have decided to hold him out of the preseason game against Tampa Bay. Got to have Leonard Fournette this year if you're going to have anything of a comeback season at Jacksonville. What do you think kind of year he's going to have? You expect Fournette to be a good pro? First, right out of the gate, sore foot's a little concerning, isn't it?
I don't know. He talked all that stuff about the game was slow to him. It wasn't fast like they said it would be.
Yeah, and NFL's nothing, man.
Then he turns around and gets hurt. I just think that's kind of funny.
It is.
He did look good in all 31 yards.
No, he ran those 31 in a good way.
I mean, he looked good. But, I mean, the knock on him coming out of college was, is he going to be able to hold up? And they're going to have to lean on him a lot, especially with the way Bortles is throwing the football. So, I didn't understand Jacksonville taking him that high. I mean, I understand why they did. I didn't agree with it because he's not going to be a 30-yard a game back. He's
30 carry again.
30 carry, right. He
might be a 30-yard a game back.
He might be 31-yard a game back. Yeah, now he might survive that. But, yeah, I mean, 30 carries a game for him, he's going to get beat up.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 8 carries and got a sore foot.
Got beat up. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be the concern about Leonard Fournette.
Maybe he's got big ankles.
I mean, look, the guy's a beast when he's healthy, but can he stay healthy? I don't know about that. And he's already hurt preseason. Already. So it's not a great sign. 31 yards on 9 carries. That's not exactly like
that. All you people upset that the Panthers didn't take Fournette.
No, I think they did the right thing. What we've seen out of McCaffrey, I think they have done the right thing at Carolina. Of course, they couldn't have taken Fournette because he was gone.
True.
He was the number 4 pick. 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Break time. Back with more coming up. We'll be right back. We are back in the huddle. ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney, Coach Josh Phillips, and Alonzo. What's ESPN doing tonight? Like, 2 straight days of fantasy programming or something?
It's like 28 hours straight of it.
You guys going to get into that this year, fantasy football?
Josh does that, don't you?
A lot of money in it. Yeah, I'll do the FanDuel or the one-day DraftKings, something like that. I don't get into the draft and pick one team. I don't like having one team because if somebody gets hurt, it throws your whole – I like being able to recycle somebody each week.
Well, you can do that, right?
I wouldn't make a very good GM. A bad game – you're gone.
Traded. Sorry.
You're out.
You're
goodbye.
Out. Don't need you anymore. Go away. Don't come back.
Hit the bricks.
Yeah. Yeah, I might do it. We've done a league around here before. They should be done by now, right?
A lot of them.
Yeah, maybe I'm not invited this year.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not.
Where's my invite on the league this year? I don't think I'm invited this year.
Did you do so well that they just didn't invite you?
No, it wasn't that. Wasn't that. Maybe they had... I don't know. They needed a spot, and they took mine. I'm not sure. You remember UConn coach Jim Calhoun? He's 75 years old, and he says, you know what? I think I'd like to coach again. Says he misses the kids, wants to do some basketball stuff. He was talking to the Hartford newspaper at a charity golf tournament today. He did not identify any specific opportunities. But the paper, citing multiple sources, reported that Jim Calhoun could pursue the job at St. Joseph in West Hartford, Connecticut, Division III. Calhoun told the paper, I have a couple other things in the works. One involves basketball, and it is coaching. That's all he would say. He retired. It's been 5 years since he retired. 2012, after 26 seasons at UConn, three NCAA championships. Says he misses interacting with the players, people getting together, getting on a bus, driving someplace.
Maybe just be a bus driver. I mean, it's the same thing. He'd be all right with that.
Says he would like to do some basketball stuff if he can. Jim Calhoun, I don't know about those bus rides. I've done those bus rides. They ain't that great. They're not that big a deal.
Tebow loves them.
Yeah. Has there been any update on Tebow in the last week or so? Has he been moved up to double A yet?
No, not yet. He hit a couple of home runs. Today's his birthday.
Today's Tebow's birthday?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Tim. Yeah, we're waiting for the – because we're getting into what we're mid-August now. He's going to have to move fast. The minor league baseball season's fast coming to a close. He might not be able to get another move in this year. Maybe a little too late for Tim Tebow. Quarterback news. Two Clemson opponents announced starting quarterbacks today. Auburn and Virginia Tech. Neither one of these a surprise. Certainly the Auburn one is not a surprise. It's Jarrett Stidham, the ex-Baylor quarterback. He will be the starter, that announcement today, ahead of last year's starter, Sean White. Coach Gus Malzahn tweeted, just told the team that Jarrett Stidham will be the starting quarterback. The team is excited for Jarrett and ready for the season. That came after a scrimmage. They had their second scrimmage at Auburn on Saturday, and that was enough. That was enough. Stidham started three games as a true freshman at Baylor in 2015, and he was pretty good in those games. 75 of 109 in passing, 1,265 yards, 12 touchdowns versus two interceptions. After the firing of Art Briles in May of 2016, Jarrett Stidham announced he was leaving the program. He went to junior college but didn't play football last season. And then he signed with Auburn. 6'3", 214-pound sophomore. He was the MVP in the A-Day game, the spring game. His first showcase in front of Auburn fans. 16 of 20, 267 yards. Of course, Auburn with a September 2nd opener against Georgia Southern. And the next week, Jarrett Stidham and the Auburn Tigers will come to the Valley to play the Clemson Tigers. It's Clemson and Auburn. On September 9th, Auburn going to be ahead at quarterback position by most accounts, right? That's one position. But everywhere else, is Clemson going to be ahead? A lot of other places Clemson's going to be ahead.
Well, Auburn's offense is going to be nasty. I mean, this kid is very good. And the other thing that people don't appreciate about him is he's a better athlete than what people give him credit for. He can make some plays with his feet. And Auburn's offensive line is exceptionally good. Their skill receiver guys are big and fast. Of course, everybody knows about Petway. If you don't, you'll learn real quick. The only thing Auburn really missed last year was a quarterback because they had the three Stooges back there that Malzahn couldn't decide who he wanted in there. Well, now he's got this kid's good. And Clemson better not find themselves down, you know, 10, 14 points because they're messing around and having to do a lot of punts because Auburn can score. Now, whether they can stop anybody or not, that remains to be seen because they lost so many defensively. But Stedham's a legitimate player.
I agree with that. Those three games that Clemson have in September, Auburn at Louisville and at Virginia Tech, especially Auburn and Louisville, are going to be very tough games. Very tough game. Speaking of Virginia Tech, Justin Fuente today named redshirt freshman Josh Jackson their starting quarterback. He was the favorite to replace Jerrod Evans. Coaches said he started separating from A.J. Bush and Hendon Hooker over the past two or three practices. Justin Fuente told reporters in Blacksburg, "I think the biggest thing is he is very consistent. He has been able to deliver the ball on time. That's a pretty big deal. Has not played in a game, but he knows the system. He's been around long enough as a redshirt to learn the system. His father is the former Michigan running back coach, Fred Jackson. And Jackson sat behind Gerard Evans last year, was able to watch and learn and pick up the new scheme that Justin Fuente brought in. Brad Cornelson is the offensive coordinator. He told reporters that Jackson emerged as the leader for a few reasons, including his understanding of the offense. He says he has the ability to get out there play after play and do what he's supposed to do and protect the football. He showed us that's really important to him. All three of the kids have good skill sets. They're all a little different. But Josh can sit in the pocket and throw. He can run the ball. It comes back to him making good decisions. The opener for Virginia Tech's an interesting one, too, Josh. It's West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
At FedEx Field.
I'm buying West Virginia.
Yeah.
I think they're going to surprise some people. Old Crazy Hair up there, I think he's found something. Will Greer's a quarterback this year. West Virginia's going to be a tough out.
That's a night game on ABC on September 3rd. So that's a Sunday night game. How about that? That's a pretty good Sunday night game. Virginia Tech and West Virginia on September 3rd in Landover, Maryland. So two Clemson opponents, we know who their quarterbacks are going to be. And they had some questions about that, certainly at Virginia Tech going. And as you said earlier, there was some discussion that the transfer, A.J. Bush, might get that job. But no, it will be Josh Jackson to start for Virginia Tech. Josh Jackson, out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, 6'1", 211 pounds, redshirt freshman. All right, we'll take our final break and come back and wrap it up here on the Monday Huddle. 844-477-3776 get you in with us. Text line 71307. Back to wrap it up in a moment on ESPN Upstate. You remember they had a pretty big audition over at Furman Stadium, Paladin Stadium, two or three weeks ago? It's on a weekend, I remember. For a public address announcer for Furman football, they've made their decision. I hope we're not breaking this news to anybody who didn't get the job.
I can't wait. I'm on the edge of my seat.
The winner is Jeff Holley. Jeff Holley will be Furman's new public address announcer for football. Veteran of 20 years of public speaking experience. Chose from 50 candidates. Two rounds of competition. Man, people wanted to be the PA announcer at Furman.
So you had to get a call back to get into the second round, or is it just that many people?
Not sure about that.
Okay.
Not sure about that.
Should I know? No offense to Mr. Holley, but...
You probably wouldn't know him. He was the public address game announcer for T.L. Hanna High School for 3 years, and Yellow Jackets basketball since 2015. Have you been to a lot of Glenview Middle School games?
No, but I have been to some T.L. Hanna's. Okay. So, I mean...
Well, he handled public address duties for Glenview Middle School, and he was the announcer for Crescent High School football for 4 years in the 90s. And he worked the football camps for Taj Boyd and Marcus Lattimore the last 3 years. And
so Josh may have actually seen him then.
Maybe.
It's possible.
You may know him and just not realize. Anyway, congratulations. He's a Clemson graduate in 1999, and he will debut at Furman. First home game is September 9th against Elon, 1 o'clock game. Jeff Holley wins the public. They should make a reality show out of that. They make a good, there was a TV segment on it I saw, and I know maybe it was the newspaper story, and they just did a video on the newspaper story. Anyway, I saw some video of these guys trying out, because I knew several of them, and that would make a good reality show. Everything's on TV these days.
Hot dogs on sale in concessions, two for a dollar.
Yeah.
That was a good tryout right there.
You could have done it.
I think you need to put a little more oomph into it. But
you could have been the man.
Yeah, you could have. Mm.
The popcorn ran away with the candy.
There we go. There we go.
Okay, I changed my mind. Never mind. Never mind. Hey, don't look now, but while I was away, my Cardinals got back into the race in the National League Central. Did you guys spend last week talking about this?
A little bit. Don't worry. Matheny'll screw it up.
They have won. Thank you for that. They've won 8 out of 10, and they're one game behind the Cubs now in the Central. The Cardinals, 61-57. They're four games over 500 now. The Cardinals. The St. Louis Cardinals.
They're making a move.
Making a move, putting the pressure on the Cubs. Milwaukee has faded, and the Cubs have only won 4 out of the last 10. So, yeah, we got a pretty good, really got a four-team race there because Milwaukee's still just 2 back, and Pittsburgh's only 4 back. Pittsburgh's 2 games under 500, they're only 4 back. I guess the moral of the story is the National League Central is not very good because the Cubs lead with a 61-55 record. Meanwhile, over in the West, the Dodgers are 18 games up on the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. And the Rockies and the Diamondbacks are pretty good, but the Dodgers are 83-34. Yeah. I think we might see the Dodgers in the World Series this year. Washington's lead in the East, 14 games over Miami. The Braves have now dropped back into their customary place near the bottom. They're still ahead of the Phillies, but that's it. They're behind the Marlins and the Mets. The Braves have won 4 out of 10, and they are 11 games. Remember when they were 500? They're now 11 games under 500. That's where the Braves are. I told you people to stop talking about the Braves. Tried to tell you to do that. You didn't listen.
Not to bring up old wounds, G-Mac. I'm just curious from your professional standpoint, speaking of the Braves, because you are the voice of Burns High School. What do you do with a baseball team if you're the announcer and they're having a rough year like the Braves? I mean, the game's slow enough as it is.
Yeah.
Or the Phillies. Could you imagine being the everyday play-by-play voice of the Phillies?
That would not be good.
See, I'm offended by the question for Greg because Greg would have some colorful stories.
Yes, that's right. I would be ready with stories.
He would be awesome with stories.
Look, baseball's something I've never done, ever. So I don't know. You know, I don't know how hard it is. You've got to ad-lib in all play-by-play sports, but in baseball, man, you just got to.
You grind.
It can get long, and some guys have done it by the. I remember when Jim Phillips, legendary voice of the Clemson Tigers, used to do Greenville Braves baseball by himself.
Wow.
Woo! That's not easy. That's not easy. It's tough. But you can get away with longer pauses in baseball broadcasts. It seems to be okay.
Because the action is just kind of.
There's no action.
Yeah,
there's no action.
I got to tell you, from a producer standpoint, doing a baseball game is tough because of those pauses, especially if you're only half paying attention.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you don't hear anything. It's like, should I push the button? I don't know.
Yeah,
that's rough.
Did you ever run some Greenville Braves baseball games?
No, but I ran. Braves games. That's when I first started
Braves.
In radio with carts. So the hesitation was even harder because once you started a cart, there
but
was,
they never had just one guy doing an Atlanta.
No,
Braves
they
game.
Did. They didn't. But Skip Carey, I guess, was him and who's the other guy?
Arnie Johnson.
No,
Pete Van Wieren.
It might have been one of those guys paused a lot, and I can't remember who it was. He has the real weird hair.
Oh, is it Don Sutton?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I knew that so quickly.
I thought he was talking about Dana Holgerson.
Yeah. No. He did not do Braves baseball.
No, Sutton's hair, it doesn't look right. It looks like it belongs on someone else's head. It's just weird. You guys aren't disagreeing with me.
No, can't argue.
Maybe
with
it was
that.
Implants.
Can't argue with that. Over in the American League as we continue to try to wrap up baseball here.
Not only is he the hair club client, run
down the goat path. Boston now has a 5.5 game
lead baby.
Over the Yankees. The Red Sox have won 9 out of 10. They are hot.
Stole one last night.
Yeah, how about that? So the Yankees winning 4 out of their last 10. They're 5.5 back. Tampa Bay 9 back, so Tampa Bay's fading pretty quickly. In the Central, it's Cleveland up on Minnesota by 4.5 games. The Indians have also been hot. They've won 3 games in a row. And over in the West, Houston continues to lead, but they have not been playing well lately. They've won 3 out of their last 10, so 3-7 record in their last 10 games. But they were so far ahead in the American League West that it's not a problem. Houston still has a 12-game lead over the Angels of Los Angeles. And Seattle is down by 14 games in the American League West. So we don't really have... I mean, going down the stretch run here, it's mid-August. We got a month and a half left of the baseball season. And we have the National League Central, which is a great race, but nobody's playing very well. And you could still argue the American League East with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the American League Central with Cleveland, Minnesota, and Kansas City. That's about all we have left for pennant races with a month and a half left in this Major League Baseball season. So not a lot to look forward to in that stretch run. Hey, thanks for listening today. We're back tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Keep an eye on practices at Clemson and South Carolina and more NFL news as we get some injury updates on some of these players we've been talking about today. Thanks to Josh and Delonzo. I'm Greg McKinney. Straight Up with Sturgis coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow, 1 o'clock in the huddle on ESPN Upstate.